As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, 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 welcome to episode number 58 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I am Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and predictive index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners, CEOs, and leaders of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven and complete system for operating your company. As a result, you regain control while dramatically increasing the value of your business. Now, if you missed any of the previous episodes, you can listen to them on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Pocket Cast, and others. And now, let me introduce my great guest today, Dr. Sarah Reif-Hecking. Sarah, you are the founder of True Focus Coaching, a speaker, a coach, and a time matters expert with 20 plus years of experience helping people create and achieve their goals. You empower entrepreneurial leaders to get a grip on time so that they can get to the next level in their lives and businesses. You create elegant, out-of-the-box time management solutions for your clients. Previously, you were on the faculty at UMass Medical School and was a coach at the Hallowell Center. You say you are passionate about helping smart, creative leaders who have a hard time managing their time and their tasks figure out a way that works for them. You clearly state your belief that one has to find the time management system that works for that individual, that solutions are found by paying attention to the present moment, and that just like Michelangelo had to chip away at the stone to find the statue, we have to get rid of the extra stuff that isn't the core of our life, our profession, or our function within the organization. And that's so beautifully put in your introduction, Sarah. So welcome to Operationally Speaking, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me, Sergio.
I am very, very pleased to have you. So first of all, just as a kind of a framework here, so how did you and I first connect?
We first connected in a provisors meeting, in a networking meeting.
All right. And, you know, for those of you who are not local to either California or the Northeast or have never heard of provisors, provisors are basically a kind of a networking and a business relationship creating environment and organization for providers of services to mid-sized companies like Sarah and I. So, you know, I always like to start these conversations on a kind of a lighter note. So, do you have like a business anecdote or joke you can share, Sarah?
I do. And the business anecdote that I like to share that happens more times than I really like to tell on my clients is that one of the things I do when I talk with people is I help them figure out what they need to get done, what's most important and meaningful to them, what only they can do, and then when they're actually going to do it at a time that works for them. And I can't tell you how many times I have a conversation with people and will say, oh, so here's this really important thing that needs to get done. And I'll say, how much time does it take to do that? And I'm thinking of a client recently that said, it's going to take me 90 minutes to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I say, when are you going to do it? And she said, in this 60-minute time block.
Very funny.
Right?
What can I say? Special math.
Yes, special math. So I love to share that because it's one of the things that we all do. We make these time estimation errors, and sometimes we do them predictably. But when I point it out to people, it's very fresh information, right? So yes. I have to reflect it back to people, but we always get a good laugh out of it.
Absolutely. I can imagine. So one other thing that I want to ask you, Sarah, you know, I'm always interested in what is it in people's history that makes them or they think that made them who they are in the present time. So with respect to you yourself, is there an event or maybe a force or a person in the early stages of your life that has had kind of the strongest influence on you becoming who you are today?
Yeah, you know, I love answering this question because it actually comes very consistently from two different places in my life. Mm-hmm. And the first one is my parents, which I think is true for many of us. But my father was a university professor when I was growing up and then went on to have his own consulting business. He was a linguist and a speech pathologist. Mm-hmm. And my mother was actually still is. In her 80s, don't tell anybody, okay. Is a piano teacher. Mm. And so I grew up in a household in which figuring out how to run a business and get clients and do your own thing in a way that worked best for you was really modeled. And I saw some awesome things happen. I saw some not so good things happen. And I learned from that. And then I took it forward into my own life. And I'm always have been a lover of learning and knowledge. And I eventually went and got my own PhD and worked at a medical school for a few years. And then ended up needing to leave that environment and create my own business. And I was able to draw on some of the experience from my parents, but also from being an entrepreneur in that medical setting where I had to figure out how I was bringing in money on the research side of what I did and then also on the clinical side of what I did, because I did both NIH-funded research and clinical practice. So those two things have really, I think, given me the vision that I always knew I wanted to have my own business, but I also wanted to be very grounded in scientific data and information and things that I knew and know really work for people.
So, you know, listening to you, Sarah, this to me, one way in which your story lands is that no matter what environment you grow up in, you know, maybe it's a little bit like more academic, more left brain, the right brain combination, whatever it is, one can actually take that environment and use it as a strength, as a source of strength to create anything like, for example, a solo practice as you have, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that there's so many different places to learn and draw upon exactly. To create our strengths and to create a business around.
So speaking of really quickly, tell us a little bit about True Focus Coaching, what its purpose is and what is it that it's best at?
I love this question. So I empower entrepreneurs and professionals to get a grip on their time so that they can get to the next level in their life and their business. And I am really best at helping people understand what's most meaningful and important to them and how to actually get that into their day so they know it's going to be done and create that blend in their life that they're really craving so that they know that they're going to get stuff done at work that needs to get done, that's meaningful and important, and that whenever they choose to leave their workday, they can then go home and do what feels meaningful and important to them there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sold because like many others, essentially like everybody, I'm a huge a violator of some of these rules.
Mm-hmm.
and so we all are. So speaking about focus, you know, we titled this conversation Fuel for Focus. So I always like to start with the basics. So let's start with the basics. What is focus?
So focus is that state where you're, and most people actually equate it with flow as well, where mm-hmm. you're engaged, your mind is focused and really one pointed, and you're in a place where time really feels like it's standing still. And most people, when they're talking about focus, are really talking about this state of flow. Mm-hmm. That has actually been very well researched and is this place where you're doing things that are a little bit challenging but not threatening, right? They're mm-hmm. fun, they're challenging, they're engaging, and you're really noticing only what is in front of you and what you're doing at that moment.
Mm. So, you know, when somebody is listening to you, Sarah, one may think, boy, this woman must have always had an easy time being in this kind of mode because, you know, she sounds like she knows what she's talking about. So she must be talking from true lifelong experience. So tell me that is true or not true.
Yeah, so I come to my expertise from a couple of different angles. One is my own experience of being somebody who's good at doing a lot of things, loves learning a lot of things, and can easily get involved in too many projects. And that's actually one of the things that happened when I was working at the medical school, partly because I was really good at managing lots of projects, and partly because I wasn't good at saying no and getting really clear on the most important things for me. So I come to helping people manage their focus from, you know, my own experience of having way too many things to do and feeling like I couldn't say no and I didn't know how I was going to cut things down so that I could actually move the most important things forward. I also have come to it from just working with so many smart, time-challenged people over the years, and my background as a clinical psychologist, where I've done some research and gotten really clear about what works for people in terms of getting more focused and doing more of what's most meaningful and important to them and what doesn't work.
Well, so are you telling us that the expert on focus experienced time challenges herself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think
No, I was going to ask you, so how does that feel actually?
When you're time challenged? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you for me, the thing that comes up the most is this feeling of overwhelm.
Yes.
And some people feel it as, you know, procrastination. Usually overwhelm is the emotion that precedes procrastination. And I like to call this the emotional piece of time management, Sergu. Right. This is that piece that people don't talk about very much. It's like this hidden secret, but we all struggle with it.
Well,
so,
yeah, well, I was going to say, we are going to take a quick break right now, and I want to continue this conversation, Sarah, about the emotional component of procrastination or of overwhelm, and then move towards actually getting a sense of why people end up experiencing this so often. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serju Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serju Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Dr. Sarah Reif-Hecking, founder of True Focus Coaching. So Sarah, before the break, we were talking about the emotional component of procrastination, of overwhelm. So, and I interrupted you because we had to take a break. So if you can actually kind of wrap from, pick up from where we left it and tell us what is it that gets us into those states?
Certainly, Sergio. So what happens for most of us, and I know what happens for me, is I get into this place called overwhelm, and I hear this from so many of my clients, where you really don't know what to do. It's hard to think sometimes, and it's hard to process anything. And
so it becomes like frozen, right?
Yes. So some people are able to label it as overwhelm. Sometimes people experience it as freezing or avoidance or doing something altogether different than what you thought you were going to be doing, right? So that's when the cat videos come up on YouTube and so forth. You catch yourself 30 minutes later and you haven't done what you were intending to do. Mm-hmm. So what I want people that are listening to do is to start to notice what does that emotional component look like for them, and then how does it cause problems for them? And the problem that most often we hear is procrastination, right? I'm overwhelmed, and so I stop doing that thing that I know how to do. I just, you know, set it aside. I delay it. And the thing that's really important to notice here is that not all delaying is procrastination. And this is something I hear from my clients all the time also, that we often tell ourselves we're procrastinating on stuff, Sergu, when what we're doing is we're setting things aside appropriately. We're actually managing our time well. We just have a lot of stuff to do. And then that leads to overwhelm because we keep feeling like there's so much more to do and we're never getting to it. So one of the important pieces here is to first notice what that emotion feels like for you. Mm-hmm. Overwhelm, freezing, avoidance, doing something altogether different. Or we'll start with that and then notice how it's getting in your way. It might be procrastinating. It might be that you're just flipping in and out of so many activities in a few moments that you're not getting anything done, right? That thing we call multitasking. Mm-hmm. But for everybody out there, that emotional piece is important to first recognize and then figure out how you want to manage it from there.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and so that's really the first thing that people can take right off this conversation today is start to notice what is that emotion, where do you get stuck, and what do you call that emotion, and what does it feel like in your body?
Right. So is that experience maybe different, let's say, for, you know, solo professionals like you and I, for example, vis-a-vis, let's say, people who work in teams or in office environments? In other words, are those experiences a little bit different from these two categories, or essentially we're all subject to the same kinds of time management issues?
I think it comes down to we all have the same sort of time management issues. The question is, how do we solve the problem of having so much to do? And when we're working in teams, it's often easier to identify who is the person on the team that could manage the piece that needs to get done that we're not able to do or that is overwhelming us, right? We have more resources theoretically. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes we just feel like we're the one who gets piled on. Mm-hmm. But I think that emotional piece is common for each of us, regardless of whether we work, you know, in a one-person office, in a five-person office, or in a, you know, 200-person company or office.
Mm. So now, vis-a-vis time management and, you know, the problems related to time management, aside from this feeling, this suite of feelings of, you know, however we label them or experience them, what other kinds of problems do you see when you're dealing with your clients that are related to time management?
So the first one I see is the one we've been talking about, which is this emotional piece, the procrastination and the overwhelm or freezing or avoidance. And then I also see people that have a hard time feeling like they have control over their time. Mm. And this comes in two flavors. It comes in the, oh my gosh, I didn't notice time was passing and I've missed that meeting. Or I got so absorbed in something that I totally forgot I needed to do something else, right? Mm. So some of us really have a hard time knowing that time is passing. And others of us are able to sort of notice the minutes passing. The thing to know here is that neither is good or bad. You just need to understand how your brain works and set up supports to help you notice that time is passing so it doesn't cause problems for you. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I happen to be somebody who I know that time's passing, but I don't have a sense about how many minutes. So I always have a clock in front of me. If not several, just to check in so I can notice. Now, after years and years of doing appointments that end up being a half an hour or an hour long, I sort of have a 25-minute itch and a 50-minute itch, but I don't really know which is which. I can just tell you I'm restless and I need to check the time. Mm. So really, really important to get a sense about how you notice time is passing and then put in systems in your environment that help you set control over your time and set up boundaries over your time. So that's one area. And then another area is mechanics and planning. So just the nuts and bolts of, I have a bunch of stuff to do. How am I keeping track of what I need to do? How am I making sure that I'm getting it done in a timely manner and putting things in my calendar and following what I do? And then there's also a big piece of goal setting and priorities. So those are really the four areas that people struggle with most.
Absolutely. Now, you've been working with all kinds of people as your clients in this area of focus and time management. Have you noticed anything different about, let's say, business leaders like CEOs or company founders or entrepreneurs vis-a-vis the rest of the population? In other words, are they any different vis-a-vis those kinds of issues, or just all the same? It's just that their issues are more visible to us because we, the people who work for them, happen to notice them more visibly because they're in our view all the time.
I think that entrepreneurs and CEOs often, and this is not 100%, but often are visionaries and very creative people that see things that they would like to create, and often are moving faster in their creating abilities than their team can keep up. Mm. It's a common problem. And again, it means that the individual is probably very good at what they do. But if we don't help them figure out how to pace things and communicate things to their team so that their team can get things done in a way that works for the whole company, then that's when we end up with big problems. Does that make sense from your experience also?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of interesting because at the same time, this actually connects in a certain way with a number of traits that they may have, which I actually in my practice measure actually using assessment tools. Mm-hmm. So, for example, entrepreneurs or let's say founders I work with mid-sized companies, right? So they have there's an organization in place. So I work with the whole leadership team. There may be 4 to 8 people on the leadership team. So the founder is sitting there, and let's say in the behavioral realm that I measure using a tool like predictive index, for example, there may be a person who is highly dominant, for example. And in that case, that person will actually be so laser focused on trying to get this stuff done by the organization that will actually trigger exactly what you're describing, which is totally totally disconnect between what's going on in his or her head and what's actually possible on the ground with by the rest of the people. But then you have the other category, which are the relationship people, the people who are dominantly relationship oriented, who are constantly concerned about the effect of what they do on others, and essentially end up slowing everybody down because they're so concerned. So I've seen both categories, and I don't know which one is better or worse from a organizational perspective or from a progress of the company perspective. But both behaviors are actually in existence in real life, right?
Absolutely. And the thing that I know, and I know you know this from your practice also, mm-hmm. is that it's not that one is better or worse. It's that we need to set up the organization to support the strengths that each individual has, and so that we end up with a strength-based organization. So if you're the CEO that's very creative and always on to the next creative, cool thing, and you're best at thinking things up and then letting somebody else do it, then mm-hmm. we need to set up your team with people that love doing it and making sure it happen, and have somebody who's good about getting it out of your head and into the real world. And vice versa for the person who's more relational and is really good at developing maybe the sales relations and customer relations. And then you need somebody else who's going to manage the creative piece. Exactly. Again, it's building that strength-based team.
Exactly. So we are going to take another short break. And when we come back, I'd like us to talk a little bit about the how. So to start with, How is your approach to increasing focus and productivity different than others? So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Dr. Sarah Reif-Hecking, founder of True Focus Coaching. So before we get into the how part, I have a question for you, Sarah. So what's the one thing about your practice, about your business, that nobody other than your clients or customers knows about?
I love this question. And I think it's one of my core philosophies, which is that we're all wired differently. So you have to be careful what you copy. So whenever I'm working with an individual or a group of people on improving their productivity, doing more of what's most meaningful and important to them or their business and in their profession or their personal lives, I want to get really clear about what do we know about you and what has ever worked for you and build on those strategies. Because what I know is you only need about maybe 5 tools tops to really improve your productivity and be more focused. And then you need to keep using those tools. And those tools need to be set up with how your brain and your life and your business work.
That's perfectly said, Sarah. And also, you got just one half a step ahead of my next question, which was going to be actually about your philosophies, what makes you different than other productivity or focus experts. So we are all wired differently is one thing that you say. And by the way, before we go to the next philosophy, how do we find out how we are wired? How do you find out, actually?
Yeah, so I find out how people are wired from doing some basic discovery in conversation, and asking them what has ever worked, learning where they're having problems in terms of managing their time, what's not getting done and why, how they're feeling around those things. And because I've been working with people on these things for 20 years, I then can get a sense about what things might work for them, so that I can build on what they already know works. And then there's also some evaluations that I also use that give me some good insight. But I always want to start with that person's reality, because, right, you know, I've been a clinical psychologist for a long time, and now I practice as a coach, and I know that there's really no substitution for the one-on-one conversation and digging into what's really happening in the moment.
Right. So you mentioned that you explore what the kinds of things have worked for that person in the past, such as for tools. And you mentioned earlier that you believe that, you know, everybody needs approximately around five or so tools and just stick with them. When you say tools, can you give us a couple of examples just to understand what is it really that you mean from a practical perspective? What kinds of tools are you talking about?
Absolutely. So there's two cool tools we all need that are going to sound rather familiar. One is a to-do list, right? And one is a calendar.
Right.
And we all need a to-do list that works for us. So for some of us, it's a pen and paper. Some of us, it's a more formal project management system because we have lots of things going on.
Right.
Same with the calendar. It doesn't matter what format you use. It needs to be the one that works for you and your business. And this is a question I get asked all the time, Sergio. And it is that, you know, should I be using paper or electronic formats? And what I always say is use the one that is your go-to, because there's often a reason that it works for you. So, for instance, my calendar is electronic. My to-do list is hard copy, most of it, at least the stuff that I'm going to take action on in the next day to a week is handwritten, because I remember things better when I write that way.
Yes.
And I just always have a go-to list that just works for me. Now, on bigger long-term projects, I have a project management system, but most people don't need that.
Right.
For most of us, we need the simple, reproducible, always used systems, right? The one notebook that has your to-do list in it and the one calendar that has everything there.
Yeah.
The other tool that is really, really important that I work with everybody on is what I call a flexible template for your week. And what that is my version of time blocking. And people can take this right off the call today. What I want you to do is ask yourself, when do I want to start working each day and when do I want to stop working each day? Right? Because one of the things that happens to us in this 24/7 electronic world in which we live, that we have blurred those lines of working and home.
Yes.
And sometimes that's helpful and lots of times it's not. It just means we're multitasking, which doesn't really get us anywhere faster. It slows us down and tires us out much more quickly.
Exactly. Exactly. So true. So true. So so that's philosophy number one. We are all wired differently. So what's philosophy number two?
So the second one is it's all about pruning. And what I mean by that is our lives are just like a giant oak tree that gets to be strong and have beautiful branches because it has been pruned over time, right? Somebody went in and cut out the dead wood. Somebody went in and cut out branches that are crossing each other, that are creating instabilities, so that the strong branches can get the energy from the trunk of the tree and really create that beautiful, strong, vibrant tree. Same is true in each of our lives. We have to get really clear about what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to, because when we're saying yes to something, we're by definition saying no to something else.
Right.
And it's very easy to say yes to things that are not the core of what's most important and meaningful to you.
So, and philosophy number three?
I alluded to this a little bit earlier, Sir Ju. Solutions are found by paying attention to the present moment. Mm. So when I work with people, I want to know when you're in that moment of being stuck, what's happening right then? Because it's in that moment that we're going to find the gold that's going to help solve that problem and the key to unlock it. So I'm always curious about what happens right in the moment. It's one of the reasons why I actually love working with people remotely, because we can be talking while you're at your desk, and I can say, so what's stressing you out right now? What does the pile look like? Or what does the email look like? And then we can talk about how do we set up your environment to support that success. Mm-hmm. So it's catching it right in the moment. And then once you learn how to catch the big things, right, the big overwhelms, then you want to move into catching the small little emotional hitches so that they don't slow you down.
Wonderful. So, so that's basically the three philosophies. And you alluded to the fact that that has created essentially for you a methodology, a number of steps, a process that you kind of follow with your clients. So can you start giving us a little bit of a sense of what that process looks like and what's involved in each one of those steps?
Absolutely. So this is what I call my five steps to increase focus. You can also use it to bust through procrastination and overwhelm. And it's really one of the foundational pieces of what I teach. Mm-hmm. And the first step is to recognize what's overwhelming you. And I like to talk about the emotion here as though it's a dragon.
Right.
So if you, you know, maybe indulge me a little bit here. Let's say it's a huge dragon, right? Mm-hmm. Like five stories tall. I don't know if you're Game of Thrones watcher, but it's that huge dragon that really has talons and a big tail and breathes fire and can really create a lot of destruction. Exactly. So if there was a dragon that lived in your village, you would want to be able to figure out where you'd want to recognize where that beast lives. Okay. So the first step is recognize what's overwhelming you, figure out what that thing is. And then the next thing you want to do is tame the dragon, right? There's a dragon that lives outside your village. You want to calm him down. You want to be able to have a relationship with him or her so you can be friendly and communicate. So oftentimes what happens when we're out of focus is that there's that emotion that's keeping us distracted. And what happens is there's a negative statement in there that is something like, I can't do this. I'll never get it done. Right. I'm no good. I always end up in this place. What's wrong with me? Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to actually ask you a quick question going back to step one, this recognition or recognizing what's overwhelming you, like finding the dragon, that as you refer to it. Is it helpful to actually have somebody work with you to find it, or is it possible for people to, in fact, kind of figure it out on their own?
I think you can certainly figure it out on your own. And it's why I love teaching these five steps, because you can start to notice on your own where you're stuck. The part that's very helpful to have an expert work with you on is when you're feeling like, I'm stuck and I really don't know how to influence it. I really don't know. These steps aren't working. I can't get them dialed in specifically enough. Right. And there's a huge benefit, as you know, from the work that you do also in terms of having that conversation outside of your own head and being able to solve the problem from different perspectives.
All right. So we're coming down to yet another break. And when we come back, I'd like to continue talking about these three steps and a couple of other things. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We'll be right back.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Dr. Sarah Reif-Hecking, founder of True Focus Coaching. So before the break, Sarah, you explained to us the first two steps of your five-step process of increasing focus. And the first step was to recognize what's overwhelming you. And the second one was to calm down that beast, that dragon, that inner fear that you are facing. So what's step number three?
So step number three is to enable your routine and your environment to support productivity. And what I like to think about this is engineering your containment system. So if there was a dragon that lived outside your village, you'd probably have him contained in some sort of cage or something, right? Some sort of, like, if you think about Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, right? Where they had life-size dragons in a zoo, right?
So
when the containment system went down, it's when all the problems started happening, right? So your containment system to help you keep that beast at bay is setting up routines and your environment to help you do the things that you want to be doing. So let's start with the routine. I spoke a little bit earlier about the flexible template for your week. That is a routine, right? So once you get clear about when you're starting work and when you're stopping work, then what you want to do is add in your must-do work activities your must-do home activities, and then your must-do fun activities. Because we need to make sure that we're engaged in different areas of our life to actually be fully functioning and to be able to focus when we want to be able to focus. So that's an example of a routine that helps support productivity. Like, I knew I was going to do an interview with you today because I schedule it during work hours, right?
Right, exactly.
So that's a routine. And then the other piece that's as important is to set up your physical environment to support productivity. And this is a piece that, particularly if you're somebody that's easily distracted, you want to listen to very closely. Your physical environment predicts about 80% of what you do. So I'm going to say that again just to let it land. Your physical environment predicts about 80% of what you do. So that means that if I put you in a kitchen and it's the end of the day and you're starving and the only food in front of you is your favorite dessert, you're going to eat your dessert, right?
Yep, exactly.
Right? Now, if I put you in your kitchen and you're starving and the only food in front of you is your favorite healthy meal, you're going to eat that. Okay?
Exactly.
Same thing with your work environment. Only put the important things in front of you and turn off everything else that's going to beep or buzz. And I know it can be challenging in some environments, but I promise you, if you take this seriously, your productivity will improve dramatically.
Fascinating. So, and step number four?
Step number four is get support. Okay. So what I want everybody to know, and you know this, Sergio, because of the work you do, that success doesn't happen in a vacuum. And the notion is this: would you defeat a five-story dragon on your own? And I venture to say, no, that only happens in fairy tales. Okay? You would get support of other people in your village, and you would march the perimeter, make sure the containment system was set up and functioning, and you would do whatever you needed to do to keep that dragon away from your village. Same thing here. If you want to be successful, you need to build your support team. And this is one of the things that you do really well, Sergio. You want to build your support team and your time management and productivity systems so that you are able to do what's most important and meaningful to you. And you need support to do it because none of us can do it alone.
Exactly.
We just can't.
Exactly.
And then the last step is really to keep restarting until you're where you need to be. And the notion is that dragons need tending, right? So he's out in the paddock over there. You've got him in his containment system, but you need to feed him. You need to keep calming him. You need to keep making sure that the paddock is working and keeping him where he's supposed to be. So you need to keep walking through these steps until you have a system that really flows easily for you. And until those emotional pieces that really keep you stuck are absolutely at bay. And then you want to keep making sure that you're using the system.
So in other words, don't drop the ball prematurely.
Yeah. And just keep tending it. And this is that notion that I talked about earlier, that one of the things that I see happens most for people is not that they don't use systems to help them be productive. It's that they get bored with the system and decide to change the system instead of using the system.
Exactly. That has happened to me several times in my career. And then, you know, I went back to what I used to use. For example, to give you an example, a very simple example, I keep track of where I spend my time. And I've used, you know, various tools over the course of time. Now, there used to be a time when I used to actually charge my clients by time. I don't do that anymore. I work on fixed price, but I still continue to track my time. And what I noticed is that the action of tracking my time as to where it goes, even if I never go and look at the reports, which I actually do, but even if I never did, that alone makes me more productive because there's a piece of my brain that's always aware of where is it that I'm spending my time. And I, for several months, I actually dropped this practice because I said, who needs that? And I could actually see myself sliding into, being much, much less productive.
Yes. And that's an amazing tool that you need to keep using. Mm-hmm. And many people use a tool like that. And right. I bet you have a certain format that you use that just works for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, I use essentially a tool called Timular for that. And basically, my time is divided into 7 categories. And that's my entire business world functions in one of the 7 categories. So
awesome.
We have only a couple of minutes before we need to close our conversation, Sarah. So I have a couple of more questions for you. So first of all, I'm kind of a off the beaten track question. If anyone made a movie about your life, what would it be called? Since you've been quoting movies left and right throughout this conversation. See where they get you?
I do. I see where you get me. So this is a tricky one for me. I'm going to say I would call it wise living. And wow. That's because the whole formula that I use today, I shared with you just one piece of the wise living formula, the S, right. Slay the dragon. Mm-hmm. I would call it wise living because that is really the whole formula that I share with people when I work with them more closely and that I live myself. And that really has helped me get where I am.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I would also like to offer you the opportunity to give our listeners a gift via 2 quick recommendations, a book and an app. What are your favorites?
I love this. I love doing this. So there's a great little book called 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. Mm-hmm. It's written by Heidi Grant Halverson. And you can find it on Amazon. It's a little bitty pocketbook, and it has research-based practices that help people be more productive. So it's a good little quick flip through. Mm-hmm. And then an app. I'm a rogue here, Sergio. Mm. I'm a rogue. I don't recommend apps because I think you probably have the best app for you already on your phone or on your computer. You just need to use it.
That's
so,
right.
The thing I'm going to recommend instead is a planner that I often recommend to my clients that is different from what you usually see out at the stationery store. And it's called Planner Pad. You can find it at plannerpads.com. So that's PLANNERPADS.com. Mm-hmm. And I love the way it allows you to funnel your to-dos into the day and then into the week. Mm. So it's just a unique perspective.
Yes, I actually myself use a planner that is not the standard type of thing. It's a different one. It's called the Full Focus Planner. Mm-hmm. And it has also, and essentially one of the attractions there, it's created by a fellow who is a kind of a well-known guy in the realm of business planning and entrepreneurship and so forth. His name is Michael Hyatt, and his company created this thing, and it actually does have exactly the same kind of structure for flowing yearly goals into quarterly reviews, into weekly. So there's a lot of stuff, and like you said, in fact, I kind of smile listening to you talking about the fact that you use an electronic calendar and a paper planner, because I use also a hybrid type of approach. I also am a believer in the fact that there is a connection between what you actually handwrite and the ability to kind of remember and kind of capture that part, which is different than when you type. So I do actually like to handwrite stuff, including the daily goals and the daily to-dos and so forth. But I do have an electronic container for all my to-dos, and that's separate. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we came to the end of our time here, Sarah. So thank you so much for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at operationallyspeaking.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You'll be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.